We're going to read the entire psalm together responsively this morning. It has 22 verses in it. I'm going to read on verse 1, and then if you would please join me and read verse 2 together, and then every other verse down through the end of chapter 103. So Psalm 103, we'll read the entire chapter again responsively, and please join me on that second verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
If you write down sermon titles, today is a song for Thanksgiving. A song for Thanksgiving. You may not be aware of this, but did you know that Psalm 103 is one of the purest psalms of worship in the entire book of Psalms? How do we know this? The psalmist doesn't express any desires whatsoever. What he does is from the beginning to the end, he pours out his heart in praise and thanksgiving. And that's what true worship is. True worship is not a band standing in front of a church playing music and singing, though many people call that their worship time. But it's described here from the beginning to the end, nothing but praise and thanksgiving. And because this psalm is a song, and I think that all of us are aware that psalms means it's a song. All the things that are in here are songs that are written. Can you imagine singing Psalm 119? That would be incredible, I think. 160 plus verses of nothing but song. That would be like the Hallelujah Chorus or Handel's Messiah or something like that. But here we come to a song, and from the beginning, he's just pouring out his heart in praise. He's pouring out his heart in thanksgiving. And what we're going to do is we're going to divide this into a logical song for the stanzas. And we're going to look at this today. You can actually see how the psalmist was thinking, how the Spirit of God taught him this, and he wrote it down. And I think you'll appreciate it. Now, I know we weren't here for Thanksgiving. We were someplace else. And I missed being here for Thanksgiving itself. So I'm going to go back, and as I was chatting with Brother Penn, and I was asking him what he was going to preach, and I was correcting his doctrine that he had messed up, and all the mistakes that he had written down, and all the things like that. No, but as we were talking about the services, And I said, yeah, I said, I'll be preaching on Psalm 103. And he said, I'm glad you told me that because I was going to do Psalm 103. So he immediately changed his idea on what he was going to bring. And so as a song, it's divided into a number of sections sung by different sections of a large choir. And if you look at Psalm 103, it says it's a psalm of David. David wrote music not only for the king, not only for himself, and not only for the Lord. He wrote music for the choirs as well. And they would sing. And many times you will read in the book of Psalms how this was for the sons of Korah, or this was for a particular choir that was to be singing. This one here is one that was written for a choir. And back then, I'm sure they understood its intention. I want us to understand its intention today. First of all, I want you to notice the solo. A solo is something that is simply sung individually. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. This is a solo section of the choir. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, or bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Notice there's no plurality found in here, nothing plural. The name Jehovah is used twice. You see in your psalm there the word Lord. That is the Hebrew word Jehovah, and it's used twice here. And it is also, along with its personal pronoun, who, which is used five times. Now, some of you might want to write in your Bible, Lord and Lord, and then you might want to understand who, because it's used five times there. But notice what he says here. The soloist was singing about Jehovah, the Lord, and the reasons that he had to praise the Lord. I've often encouraged people on Thanksgiving time, especially on Thanksgiving time, to get alone and find some place where you can just be thankful to the Lord and count your blessings. As the songwriter said, count your blessings, name them one by one, or as we sometimes change the words here, count your blessings, name them ton by ton. And to sit down with the Lord years and years ago, back when I was home from college, I went to a place behind my home. There's my backyard and our fence and then a big field, and beyond that was my elementary school. But before you got there was a large oak tree that was there, and I would sit under that oak tree, and I'd excused myself on Thanksgiving Day just for a little bit and said I would be back shortly, and I just spent time thanking and praising the Lord for different blessings that he had put into my life. And you know what? 45 minutes passed, and it was time to go inside, and I still wasn't done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And here the psalmist is counting his blessings and giving the reasons to praise and thank the Lord. Notice the five who's that are found here. Psalm 103 in verse 3, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? That means that's moral cleansing. Aren't you glad for a forgiving God? All of us this week at one time or another have disappointed the Lord. All of us have backslidden at one time or another. And how many in here don't have to raise your hand, but aren't you thankful for the forgiveness of God? That it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here we're talking about moral cleansing, where he says, who forgiveth all, not some, but all. If you're thankful for that this morning, say amen. Amen. Notice the second thing that he's thankful for. He says, who healeth all. Not just forgiving all, but healeth all in verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases. And notice the word all in every area. And you may not get the healing here, but you'll get the healing one day in heaven. I went to a revival meeting a number of years ago down in Fountain here. I believe I had Brother Murphy with me that night. Went down to hear our good friend Lloyd Spear preach, and he and his wife sing, and their daughter Dana play the piano, and they would sing. They sang a song that was so precious, and it was about how God gave the healing after they went to heaven. Because in heaven, there is no disease, and there is no sickness, and there is no sorrow. And none of those things that plague us here are present in heaven. And it says, who healeth all thy diseases in every area, verse 3. Now look at verse 4. It says here, who redeemeth. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He preserves. Doesn't bring you back to it. He preserves you from it. Oh, and I thank the Lord for that. And then notice the next thing that he is thankful for and praises God for. He says, who crowneth thee. See what it says in verse 4? With loving kindness and tender mercies. And here, the jewels in our crowns, tender heart, the tender mercies of God crowns us with those things so that they're right there. And oh, how we should thank the Lord for that. And he says, who forgiveth all, who healeth all, who redeemeth thee, who crowneth thee. And then the last thing, notice this, in verse 5, it simply says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. All of our lives, all of our lives, satisfieth our mouth with good things. God is for us, and he wants us to be blessed. And the psalmist said individually, know we in here, he's talking here, he's talking about thee. And he understand this. It's the solo part where someone maybe stood in the front and sang these things out loud so that folks would understand that this is emphasizing the individual, the solo. And you know, when I go to prayer, I don't always say to the Lord, now, Lord, thank you for our blessings. I go and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've put upon me. And I talk about me because God has blessed me and how thankful I am. I thank God for my salvation. I'm glad you're saved, but I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for what health I have. I thank God for my church family. I count the blessings that God has given to me. And I thank God for the blessings that he's poured out on my life. That's what the verses 1 through 5 are all about. That's the solo. Secondly, I want you to notice the chorus that comes in, verses 6 through 19. And I'm not going to read all those verses again, but I am going to read some of them because now the entire choir joins in and sings of reasons to praise the Lord. I love hearing a good choir sing. I've heard some good ones, and I've heard some that are not so good, but they give it their all, and they give it their best. Amen and amen. I led a teen choir for 4 years of 75 voices who sang 26 times a year and sang two songs each service for those 26 times a year. And I loved hearing young people sing. And I was thinking just this week about what makes some music so memorable is the singing of many voices together. What a joy that is. But I want you to notice that the entire choir joins in now, and now they are singing. And notice verses 6 and 7, they are singing and praising and thanking God for his righteous acts. It says in verses 6 and 7, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Now they're counting the blessings that God has given to his people, not just to an individual, but to his people. Often when I pray, I thank God for his blessings on my church family. On my church family. For me, yes, but for my church family, for my family. And it talks about here his acts unto the children of Israel. Notice something else. Not only were they praising God for his righteous acts, but they were also, and this is something every one of us can be thankful for, they're thanking God for his patience with them. And I'm glad, aren't you glad that the Lord is long-suffering to usward and not willing that any should perish? Look what it says in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, and I'll read these to you. The Lord is merciful and gracious. You've heard me pray many times, Lord, thank you for the gracious, for your grace that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you so much. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. You go east, you'll never see west. If you go west, you'll never see east. And that means he has completely removed those from us. Aren't you thankful for that? When God forgave me, he forgave me forever. It's everlasting. And I thank God for his mercy. And I thank God for his grace. During the election season and before that, I encouraged the Timberline Baptist Church family. I said, I don't pray for God's grace on America anymore. I pray for mercy on our country. And God has shown his grace and his mercy now for scores and scores and scores of years. Aren't you thankful for that? And by the way, when Peter wrote that the Lord is long-suffering, he's not willing that any should perish. God will let you go for a long time before he drops the judgment on you. As we have studied in our Sunday school lessons in the minor prophets and the major prophets, God waited many times, hundreds of years before judgment fell. He gave his people long periods of time to repent and turn back to him. And he wasn't not one who was quick to judge, but he gave them decades many times, sometimes hundreds of years. Why? For the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, you see. Not only were they thankful for his righteous acts, they were thankful also for his patience. And by the way, you ought to be thankful for his patience with you. But just notice there is a verse in here. It says he won't always chide, but he's not going to keep his anger forever. Okay? It runs out after a while. His righteous acts, his patience. Notice the next thing. They're thanking God for his pity. Verses 13 through 16. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as the grass, as a flower of the field. And so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. God knows we're made out of flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 2, the end of the chapter, you don't have to go there, but you might want to mark it, verses 24 and 25. It says there that he didn't need anybody to tell him about man because he knew what was in man because he made man. And he understands you. Sometimes we look at God in our prayers and say, God, you don't understand my situation. God understands and he knows. That's why he pities us as a father pitieth his children, you see. And how important that is. He understands that we're made out of dust. He understands that we have human weakness. He understands that we have human frailty. He understands that we have limited knowledge. He understands that we are not omnipotent like he is. He understands that. And that's one of the reasons he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. His pity was something else they were thankful for. Look at this. And they praised God for it. Look at verses 17 through 19. They praised God for his loving kindness. This is a word that was not translatable in the Old Testament, the word loving kindness. So they kind of had to fill in the blanks. A marvelous word. Notice what it says. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto the children of men. Can you hear the choir singing about how he is toward people? It says, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Oh, his loving kindness. We sing a scripture song here. Thy loving kindness. You see, we sing that. And we understand that God is loving kind toward us. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And the psalmist wrote those words as well. His loving kindness. What have you in your prayer life sat down and thanked God for? I think about the first two points I've given you, forgiveness and healing and redemption and rewards and satisfaction, righteous acts, patience, pity, and loving kindness, and just spending your time. Like I said, this entire psalm has nothing to do with the desire of the psalmist. He's not asking God for anything. He's praising God for everything that God is. The purest psalm of worship you'll ever read. But there's a third thing. Because we had, first of all, the solo. Secondly, we had the choir joining with the chorus. But thirdly, this is interesting, the angels join in. You know, the Bible does not ever say that the angels sing. When at the birth of Christ, the angels said something as they stood in the heavens. But if there were a place in the Bible that you could say that the angels did sing, it might be here, okay? Notice verses 20 through 22. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, ye all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And as I said, the Bible never really says that angels sing. Now, at Christmas time, hark the herald angels sing. They didn't. You go back and reread the story. They said. It doesn't say they were singing at all. Now, there might have been one or two singing in the background. We don't know. But the Bible says this is what they said. But here, perhaps, the angels were joining in the choir. Perhaps the angels were singing at this point. But here's what it indicates. The entire realm of earthly and heavenly hosts are praising the Lord. Isn't that something? Every angel, every human being, everyone that's here on this earth, all that God has put here, the ministering spirits that God has put here, and he goes on and says, and all his works in all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. How thankful he was. So this choir is doing pretty good now. Starts off with a solo, and then the whole choir sings, and then they included the angels. By the way, angels have something to shout about too. You know, the Bible tells us that when someone gets saved, that there is joy in the presence of the angels. They get to hear the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and other saints praise God for people that got saved. And the angels were thankful that the Savior was given to us. And here they join in the choir. And now perhaps they are singing as well. And there we have it. But then there was a final solo that was given. So it started off with a solo. And then it went to a choir chorus. And then we had the angels join in. And all the realm of heaven and earth. And then they all quiet down. And it comes back to a single solo. Look at verse 22. Where he simply says, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's back to an individual now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It all comes back to the great need for each one of us to praise and exalt the Lord. And over Thanksgiving time, and I realize now we're at the 1st of December, or as I affectionately call it, December the 1st, rather than the 1st. It's never too late to start thanking the Lord. We get thankful at certain seasons. We do that. That's what we do. Thanksgiving time, be thankful. We sing songs about thankfulness and praise and things like that. But this ought to be a year-round thing. It ought to be a year-round praise and worship time for every one of us, where we are thankful day by day. I love it when we have a testimony time here and we get back on a regular schedule. I love it when somebody just stands up and says, I would like to praise the Lord and thank Him for saving me. If that's all they said, that's all I need to hear. I love to hear it. And when somebody has a spiritual birthday, I love it when they stand up and say, I would like to thank the Lord for saving me on, and they give their spiritual birthday. I love that. I mentioned this before in recent days about how we had a family visiting our church, and they attended here for a while, and then they moved away. And they were here, and they said, we have never been in a church that emphasized spiritual birthdays, and we have never heard so many testimonies of people saying, thank God I was saved at such and such time. Oh, I'm so thankful I'm saved. And I'm glad that I can give testimony to that. And everybody here, you know, in our family, a tradition that we had always had as our children were growing up, when we would have dinner together, or supper together, the evening meal, we would read the Bible, a section of the Bible, and we had a goal to read the Bible entirely through with our family before they all graduated from high school. That was our goal. And we'd just read one little section at a time. We wouldn't read a whole lot and all that. And then on our spiritual birthdays, all of us would share our testimony of when we got saved. Mine, for example, is February the 16th, 1964. That's 60 years ago when Jesus saved me. And I'm so thankful for that. And so we would give our testimony. I would give mine. Robin would give hers. Our children would share their testimonies. And I wanted our kids to know that one of these days when their old man croaks and he dies and he's going to, I don't want them to say, I wonder if Dad was saved. I wonder if Dad knew the Lord. I wonder when, did he ever get saved? No, I want my kids to be able to say, no, he got saved on a Sunday night, February 16th, 1964, Faith Baptist Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. Ben Conrad led him to Christ after Bill Kellogg preached. I want them to have it down pat. Because I've been places where I'll say to the parent about a child who's died or a son or a daughter who's passed away. I remember one instance up in Minnesota. I was asked to do a funeral of a young man who had gotten killed on a motorcycle, a big motorcycle accident. I talked to the parents and I said, was he ever in church? No, we don't know. Was he ever in Sunday school? We don't know. Did he have a Bible? He didn't have a Bible. Was it written down that he had a Sunday school certificate where he had been in church or Sunday school or a salvation or a baptism? They said nothing. I thought, how sad. How sad that is. That was one of the hardest funerals I've ever preached in my entire life. Do your kids know when you got saved? Do you know when you got saved? Do they have a clear understanding of the time which you trusted Christ as your Savior? And I think about how the final solo, he finally says, well, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's back to that. Can you see that now? The choir starts off with the solo. Then it goes to the entire choir singing. And then maybe he motions this way, maybe this way to get the angels to join in. And then it all quiets down. It comes back to him. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. What a beautiful song of worship. What a beautiful song of thanksgiving. There are some obvious applications that can be applied to this song of praise and thanksgiving. I wrote down four. And then we're going to be done. Number one, praise to God is essential to the believer. You know Jesus is your Savior? You need to praise God. You don't like testimony services? You need to get right with God because somebody else is praising God for something. Answers to prayer, salvation of their never-dying soul, so to speak. The avoidance of hell and the promise of heaven. You learn to appreciate and be inspired by the testimonies of others. And praise to God is essential for the believer. Second lesson I wrote down is you need to learn to list the reasons to praise and bless the Lord. Write them down. Get a 3x5 card, 5x6 card, 4x6 card, 8.5x11. Take your calendar and write down all the blessings that God has given to you somewhere in that calendar. And learn to list the reasons that God has blessed you and be thankful. You ever heard anybody say, I don't have anything to thank God for? If you're breathing, you got one thing to be thankful for. If you're standing upright, you got another thing to be thankful for. If you've got food on your table, no matter how meager it may be, you've got something to praise God for. Do you realize this last Thanksgiving, we threw away in the trash cans more food than some of the world will ever see? We didn't. We ate it up. I made sure. I got the Clean Plate Award twice. I just want you to know that. And now they're telling you on TV, they tell you to finish everything on your plate. They say, don't do that if you want to be healthy. I'm sorry. That's God's provision. Be thankful and bless the Lord. Make a list of reasons to praise God. Thirdly, I wrote down, notice the example of what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is not really his prayer. It was an example prayer that he gave. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Learn to call God what he is. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not an old bearded guy sitting in a rocking chair watching flutterbys go by, as the old poet said. No. He is a righteous and holy God. And then lastly, the last lesson I wrote down, this is probably the easiest one to remember. A happy Christian is a praising Christian. A happy Christian is a praising Christian. One might say, well, that's not my personality. Well, then change your personality. Learn to be a praiser. Learn to praise the Lord. Say, well, I'm quiet and soft-spoken. Then do it with your mouth shut. But praise the Lord and be thankful to the Lord. And just because you're shy doesn't mean you should not praise the Lord or be thankful to him. Or you say, well, I don't ever want to stand up during a testimony time. Then sometimes spend some time thanking and praising the Lord. Go back to Psalm 103 and read what is found there. And if you outlined it in your Bible, as I gave it to you, verses 1 through 5, a solo, verses 6 through 19, the chorus, verses 20 and 22, where the angels join in the final solo, verse number 22. Write it down. Use it as an outline for praise and thanksgiving. We're coming upon the Christmas season. There are some people that don't celebrate Christmas, and that's if that's what they want to do, that's fine. I know we had a family visit our church one time for about 15 minutes. They walked over to our missionary board and were looking at it, and I walked over and introduced myself. And the father said, let's get one thing out of the way. Do you all celebrate Christmas and Easter? And I said, yes, we do. And they turned around and left because they didn't. And I thought, well, that's fine, but I choose to celebrate it. We're in the Christmas season now. Thankful for the birth of our Lord Jesus. And then there's always the Bible scholars that say, well, he wasn't born on December 25th. And they want to give you all these different things that they think. Leave all that out of your conversation. Just be thankful that we've got a Savior that was born and lived a vicarious life on our part and died as our Savior and gave his life a ransom for all, and be thankful for it. We had a song a number of years ago, and I've still got it somewhere on a cassette tape. Remember those? Those little square things or cassette tapes? And it simply said this, he was born in the shadow of a tree. In other words, he was born to die on Calvary. It's okay to be thankful through this entire season. My message today is to encourage you to make a list. Check it twice. Write down God's blessings. Be thankful for him. And rather than making your prayer life, and you should include prayers for others and intercession and all the things that are included in prayer, but maybe you should take a time, just maybe once or twice in a month, and just spend time thanking God for who he is. My pastor one time preached to a huge crowd down in Tennessee, and he preached a sermon entitled, On Behalf of God. His entire sermon was about the goodness and the grace and the graciousness and the mercy of God. He was wearing on that day a light blue jacket, a blazer. He cried through the entire sermon and soaked the top half of his jacket with tears, thanking God and praising God. It was one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard in my life. Nothing wrong with spending time doing just that, is there? Maybe that would be a good thing to brighten up your holiday season. And that would be good. And don't forget to listen to Christmas music every day, like I do.